Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, September 2nd, 2021. It's 8:40 in the p.m. This is the Fakeologist speaking. Excuse me. I'm checking in from the north shore of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the media capital of Canada. And I'm still plugged up because this is September. And this is when the ragweed comes out, and this is usually my worst time of the year because my body is trying to fight the pollen in the air that goes in your nose. So I try and stay healthy as possible. It's a good time not to get vaccinated because the last thing my body needs is some poison to add to the natural poison that we call pollen. And it's going to be harder and harder because the talk where I live in Ontario is all about the vaccine passport, you know, the one that the premier said he wouldn't bring in. But by all accounts, everyone and their dog in the recreational sports entertainment field is announcing that they'll require proof of vaccination. Oh, and a vaxport would be just fine as proof. How about that? Because we can't have anyone cheating the system. So that looks like even the Curling Association of Canada says all curlers must be vaccinated. All spectators of curlers must be vaccinated. So you can see where this is going. It won't be long. I'm just waiting for the employer. So we're going to have to see how this shakes out, but I expect by the end of the year we're gonna have a lot of employers pushing hard. Oh, here's the Eric Clapton video. I didn't play that. It's actually not that great of a song from such a legendary performer. I often wonder if, for instance, a song of this quality is one that maybe he actually writes, but the good songs are ones that someone else writes. So this sort of seems like one they slap together. It's super simple lyrics, and maybe the artist himself wrote it because it's of such sort of simple, so simple, and it's not up to the same standards of some of his larger hits, greater hits. I'm not a huge Eric Clapton fan, but I'm grateful that he at least is being used by the powers that be to speak out against the COVID narrative. All right. I actually had a good day today when it comes to the blogosphere because I found a new voice, a new truther. And it's been happening more often in this biggest hoax psyop of our time, Corona, COVID. And it makes you wonder if someone is so on the mark and so good and has been doing the tours and has written a book, how the heck could I have missed that person? I often wonder, but then I think, well, I'm probably missing many, many great truthers for the simple reason that you just can't hear or know everybody. And it seems like more and more of the truthers that are worth listening to are on BitChute. But my hesitancy with BitChute is it doesn't quite run as smoothly or well as YouTube. Now, we know YouTube doesn't have any real good content anymore, but at least they got their app working. And we know that Google has the horsepower behind it to provide videos that are smooth and usually uninterrupted, although it's not perfect either. Now, sadly, I do pay for YouTube just so I can stream the videos in the background. Now, I know there's some third-party apps that do the same thing, but I just found that YouTube's app, paid app, is actually worth this investment, although it is kind of expensive, $12 a month. But still, the best stuff is on BitChute, I think. But it is a nuisance to read, and you can't really search BitChute easily. It's just not that great. But I found somebody good on BitChute. And we're going to find that when we go through the blog tonight. So here's the week's schedule. I just leave this up all the time. Now, I haven't had any guests all week, but of course I canceled Monday because I was busy. Now this Sunday, it looks like I'm going to be busy again. So this coming Sunday, you probably won't hear from me. It's possible, but unlikely. So that's just a show note. Don't forget, tomorrow, Friday, is usually the Friday audio chat, and Benoit hosts that. That's usually at 4 p.m. Eastern. So don't forget to tune in. That's on fake11.com/stream2 or radio2. If you're listening now live, and all the links are at fakeologist.com/live, you would have noticed that we're at fake11.com/stream1. And, who do we got tonight in the chat? We got Salty Siren. Hello, Salty. Salty, we have to do a show. We have to do a show. I know we did a little bit of a show, but let's do a show together about boarding schools. I mean, we could talk about China. Maybe you can tell us a little about your dad and China and what's going on in China. That Salty Siren, we had her on maybe a week or two ago. And who else we got tonight? We got Stupid. All the Good Truth are on CNN. I don't think so. Okay, Salty, just pick a day. Pick a day, Sunday to Thursday, or Monday to Thursday of next week at 8:30, and we'll just talk about whatever you can tell us about boarding schools. Now, this topic came up again with the new truther, who is called Amy Says WTF. Amy Says WTF. And here's another hats off to the females. Female truthers, between 30 and, I would say, 30 and 50. It seems like the female truthers that know what they're talking about are overrepresented. And at least they're easier to listen to. Now, I can think of now Amy Says WTF, who is fantastic, and I'll get to her in a minute. And then we have amazing Polly, who's a Canadian truther, who is fantastic at putting together the dots, stringing the dots together. We also have another female truther that I just found, a Christian truther who is a Canadian who lives in Finland, and her name is Cindy, and she's 7 grains of salt. So maybe Frank the Salt Guy should look her up. She's all on YouTube as well, and YouTube keeps deleting her channel. So if you just look up 7 grains of salt, you'll find a whole pile of her channel. She's fantastic as well. So many females that are just telling the truth, and I think they're bang on. So hats off to the female truthers. Okay, so let's get right to the female truther. And I asked her to come on the show. Oh yeah, Canuck Law. Canuck Law Ronnie in British Columbia, who her main thrust is to just look at government websites and dig up information that's public, but nobody's assembled it. Now, the last thing she published was she was looking up the holdings of the Ontario Teachers' Pension Plan. And the Ontario Teachers' Pension Plan is an extremely powerful mutual fund or fund, pile of money, that invests in the markets for the teachers' pensions, and the teachers all in Ontario make, most of them are close to 100 grand. Most of the public servants, by the way, in Ontario, where I live, they all make 6 figures. So teachers, firemen, police, bus drivers in Toronto, they're all making 100 grand or more. It's crazy. So that means they have, and they all have fully indexed pensions. I think most people in the private sector don't know what that means, but a fully indexed pension means you probably, as a pension, you get almost your entire salary every year after you retire, and it's indexed to inflation. So if inflation is 5%, which I believe it is now, it's going to be 5 to 10% the next year. your pension goes up. So these big piles of money are invested in the markets, and the Ontario Teachers Pension Fund owns a huge amount of, 3M Corporation. What do? Well, they make stickers and labels and tapes and adhesives, and they also make masks. And the Teachers Fund owns $83 million worth of 3M stock. What else do they own? Abbott Labs. Well, I know who Abbott Labs are. They make a lot of the diabetic devices. And actually, they owe me some money for some bum needles for my daughter. But they haven't sent their coupon to me yet. Biogen, Eli Lilly. Guess what Eli Lilly makes? Big on insulin. $1.11 million. Nice numbers, by the way, Teachers Fund. $1.11. Like your 11. Gilead Sciences. Oh, my goodness. They own $84 million worth of Johnson & Johnson. Mm-hmm. Oh, Teva Pharmaceuticals, $17 million. There's a Teva Pharmaceutical building in Toronto I drive by all the time. But I'm not exactly... I'd have to look up what exactly they do. What else do the teachers own? Many of the Great Reset companies. They own Amazon, Apple. They own $81 million worth of McDonald's. They own $561 million worth of Tesla. Okay. They own some Zoom. Visa. Visa's huge. Microsoft. They own $244 million worth of Microsoft. So, wow. There you go. So they really don't have, any interest in staying away from these big reset companies. Now, here's a Grace Place wellness blog. Excellent work. You should also be aware that OMERS is the Ontario Municipal Employees Retirement System. That's the largest pension fund in Canada. So the teachers have their own pension fund, and all the other bureaucrats in Ontario have their own called OMERS. And they own all kinds of stuff, including Terranet, which is something to do with, it's a computer company that owns our land registry system. The land registry system used to be done by hand, by contractors, for lawyers. But now it went computerized, and apparently there's tons of fraud regarding that. Because it's much easier now, just, you don't have to go to a land registry office. It's all online. It's easier to steal and put loans against properties. There's a whole guy on the Kevin J. Johnson show that goes into that. But, yeah. So getting back to who did this, Canuck Law, that's Ronnie. I was going to have her on for 15 minutes every show, but just didn't get around to it. Now, by the way, we started the show late tonight, so I've always said now it looks like swimming season's over in Ontario because it's cold out again. We went from super hot to fall weather here in Ontario. So, but I usually make sure I get some exercise before I sit down. So if I'm not here at 8:30, just wait till 9. Now, if I don't show up by 9, I usually put a note at the top of the blog that I'm not coming on. But I'm only saying this because now, because I'm here regularly, I have more live listeners and viewers. And I thank you for that. So I know I have to show up more regularly. So for instance, tonight I have 6 on FacoTube and I have 6 on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. So I try and show up by 9 o'clock, just so everybody knows. Yes, Salty Siren says, wow, we're lucky here to get $35,000, however, it is salary, and we didn't teach summers. Well, they don't teach summers here either. Yeah, it's about $100,000, but don't forget, they have to give a lot of it back in tax, so it's not as exciting as you might think. And yeah, Salty said her lap swimming has stopped as well. Yeah, I can still swim in the lake, but just getting out is harder because it's cold out. And Steve says in the FakoTube chat, looks like Steve's the only one in FakoTube chat tonight. How the hell would anyone refuse a $1 billion bribe? Well, that's the whole thing. What we're experiencing now, guys, is a redistribution of stolen tax money. So they've stolen money from your children in the form of printing money, loans paying out of nowhere. So they've increased the debt. The Canadian debt is now, I believe, at the end of this year or next year, it'll be $1.4 trillion. Now, you can do the math. There's only 38 million people in Canada. So if you take, say, $1,400,000,000, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let me see if I get enough zeros. It's hard. So $1,400,000,000, and you divide that by 38 million. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, that's not right. But anyway, it's a lot of money that every Canadian that owns. And MC Murdoch just dropped in. Hello on the FakoTube chat. Hello there. That's one thing the YouTube chat doesn't show me, who's in the room. But FakoTube chat does show me who's in the room. But otherwise, I don't know who's in the room unless they type something. So there's another positive reason to be in the FakoTube chat. Okay, so there's Amazing Ronnie. Amazing Ronnie. And then, who else do I follow? Amanda D. Vollmer, ADV. She's reduced her name down to ADV, Amanda Vollmer, the number one writer on the quaxine topic and natural health. And she gave a fantastic intro into the vaccine topic. Now, this is not a topic that has much to do with fakery before corona, but when you do look into everything as a lie, and that's what I did starting in 2012, the vaccine topic did come up. So I was well aware of the fakery around the whole Rockefeller petrochemical drug allopathic business. So I was well aware of that, and I went into the AIDS topic, and then you get into the other so-called contagious viruses. So I was well prepared and aware before COVID's even started about the fakery around the health business. So when this came up, I knew right away it was just AIDS 2.0. I just didn't know that it was a five-year plan to just drive this idea into every single human's mind and skin and make it the platform for going into the, to the, putting every human being onto the blockchain so they can be commoditized and tradable and basically accounted, counted, and controlled by their digital persona. Your digital persona is going to be how you're going to be controlled. So you've got the man and the woman, the natural man and natural woman. They won't be able to go anywhere without their digital persona that will be intrinsically linked to them. You won't be able to get away from your persona. It'll be under your skin, and that will be who you represent, who you are to the blockchain. And Allison McDowell. There's another female, Allison McDowell. Out of Philadelphia. Now she's more in her 60s, but yeah, so maybe I should widen the Overton window to 30 to 60. She's another female that is leading the charge in explaining what's going on. And a lot of her stuff is a little more technical than I'm interested in, but anytime I want a dose of technical talk as to what exactly the mechanism is going to be, I go to her blog, which is called, I believe it's called Wrench in the Gears. Where is it here? Is it Wrench in the Gears? I'm just looking on my Feedly. Yeah, Wrench in the Gears. That's Allison McDowell. And there's another blog I follow called Winter Oak, which also begins with a W, of course. And, I can't remember who's all about that blog. So Wrench in the Gears, I'll pull that up. on the main page so you can see it. Let's make sure I'm sharing the page. Am I sharing the page? I am. Wrenching the gears. I think I left the phone lines open overnight. So if you want to call in and talk to me, you can. 810-666-1984 or 902-400-1984. I'll leave the numbers up if you want to call in. Don't forget fakeologist.com/donate. Been a slow week. Not that we're looking for it, but every little bit helps. Okay, getting back to the blog here. Look, I have a couple versions of the blog up here. Let's see, what's that? Close that off. That's the vaccine topic. Let me just read a bit. How to introduce the vaccine topic. The first thing I suggest to a new parent doing their due diligence on vaccines is to read a vaccine insert. They can be found online. Why does it seem like I read this already? After you have read a full one, ask yourself this. Does this sound like health to me? Ask yourself, what do I know about health? The next thing I suggest is to research the true history of vaccines. You will soon find that it was indoor plumbing and sanitation that reduced disease rates, not the introduction of vaccines. You will also find out when vaccines were introduced, these inoculations killed and maimed many children and people and caused disease epidemics, causing the group called the... Okay, I did read this. What am I doing? When did I post this? Let's look at the date. When is the date? I posted the yesterday. And there's no time. It just seems like I posted that already. Okay. Here's something that I found from, and this is in reverse chronological order. So I found this out from, I believe it might have been Amy says WTF, but Interpol. Interpol, which is a private security firm. It's a private security alliance. And it's owned and controlled by the Rockefellers. Interpol is a private agency with a communications network stretching around the globe, heavily involved in one way or another with the drug trade from Afghanistan to Pakistan to the United States. Now, you don't hear much about Interpol these days, but I always thought it was a European version of the FBI. But no, according to John Coleman in Chapter 33, he says it is a private security agency. I did not know. Very interesting. Anyone else know that? Interpol, private, Rockefeller? And you can read this whole article right here on templeton01436.blogspot.com. I'm going to try and read some of the URLs so people can have a listen. I can follow this blog, I guess. Why not? Oh, this is still up on the blogger. The Blogspot, the Google blog service. So obviously it's not that important if Google allows it to stay up. Very interesting. Scrolling down. Oh, right. Here's another massive pile of money in Canada. We have a pension plan that is deducted from every worker's check. I'm not sure what the percentage is, but basically what it is, it used to be kept in general revenue by the government of Canada, and it was paid out as a pension once you hit 60 in Canada. And it would pay anywhere, I guess, from $400 or $500 a month, maybe up to $900 a month. And then about 10 or 20 years ago, they had the bright idea to privatize it and allow it to be allowed to invest way more aggressively on the world markets so as to grow it just like the stock market by investing in the stock market. So this is another thing that Canuck Law took a look at. So let's see what our Canadian pension plan is investing in. Now they have quite a bit more money. I think they have more money than the other two pension plans I mentioned. So again, they've got 51 million in 3M. And by the way, if you're a self-investor, if you invest your own money and control your own IRA or pension or retirement fund, you would probably do really well if you just copied what the Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board does. Just invest in the companies they do. 51 million in 3M. Tons of pharmaceuticals, including Alexion Pharmaceuticals, $33 million. $104 million are invested in CVS. I guess that's the drugstore chain, mainly in the United States. Let's look at some of the other biggies. GW Pharmaceuticals, $173 million. Johnson & Johnson, they have $500 million worth of Johnson & Johnson stock. They have almost $500 million in Merck. Another one of the big sucking. They have $225 million in Pfizer. They have $500 million in Procter & Gamble. I'm just going for the big ones. $200 million in Thermo Fisher, another healthcare corporation. Wait a second here. United Health Group. $1 billion in United Health Group. Now, is that just, say, health conglomerate that owns hospitals in the United States? Let's take a peek, shall we? Who is United Health Group? Let's take a look. Okay, wait. They just gave $1 million to Louisiana. United Health Group Incorporated is an American multinational managed healthcare and insurance company based in Minnetonka, Minnesota. It is the second largest healthcare company by revenue with $400 billion, and it's the largest insurance company by net premiums. Wow. Big company. Okay. So the Canadian Pension Plan owns tons of healthcare and pharma. I guess that's where all the money is. Oh, and the Canadian Pension Plan, aside from all the stocks and pharmaceuticals and healthcare, the CPP has interest in many other organizations that will raise eyebrows. True, the Great Reset may be a massive conspiracy theory. No, it's not a conspiracy theory, but the investments here would suggest otherwise. So our pension fund in Canada owns $2 billion worth of Alphabet, which is Google, almost $1 billion in Apple. What else? They own $230 million in BlackRock. $53 million in Blackstone. Blackstone might be the predecessor or smaller conglomerate of BlackRock. I'm not sure. What else? $2 billion in MasterCard. Now MasterCard has done very well. I know that for a fact. MasterCard will be heavy into the digital currency scene and banking. They own $1 billion worth of Microsoft. They own $1.5 billion worth of Rogers, which is the largest telecommunications corporation in Canada. Wow, look at the money. Oh, she got, they own some banks, they own some Twitter, Uber. That's all the Visa? I'm surprised. Walmart, our pension plan owns $250 million worth of Walmart. Wow. Okay, interesting. So there you go. And Canuck Law was also looking at how they report their rate of return. They do mess with the numbers a lot. Now, allegedly, that's interesting that our pension fund is only has $392 billion. And she goes on how they have a screwy accounting system. So it's interesting. So there you go. Canada has a vested interest in making sure that the vaccination program goes to plan. So it's a very incestuous circular system that we're stuck in. You can see, if you don't believe anything else, you have to understand that following the money is super important in trying to figure out why we are in the situation we're in, at least in Canada. So in Canada, we're doing our share. We're doing our share to really keep this thing going on here. Now, let's go look here in the chat. Skate and Destroy, welcome tonight. Welcome, welcome. Great advice, Av, says Skate and Destroy. You should probably, you should do that and start charging people for your tips. Is that stock tips? Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about there, but I don't charge. I just give out all this information, and if you find value, it's the time, talent, or treasure. That's all we ask for. I think anyone that's in the markets has been doing very well. Yeah, biosecurity. Yeah, stock tips. Yeah, I'm not going to give stock tips because I think that's actually illegal. You have to have a license and you have to know your client before you can give advice. But you can't, you probably can't go wrong if you just copy what one of the, some of the biggest funds are doing. I think that's very easy. Just copy what the rich people are doing because all their, a lot of their holdings are public because they use public companies to manage their money. Let's look at the FACOTube chat right now. Not much here, but we've got a couple regulars there at the FACOTube chat. No Paul tonight. Now, this is another thing I heard, and maybe you heard about this, but I didn't. Sir Bill Gates. Did you know that Bill Gates was a knight? I had no idea, but the Queen brought him into the black nobility. Now, because I'm reading this in reverse order, I heard this on the podcast that I'm going to get to in a minute here. Now, before I end tonight, I want to make sure I get to the clips. I got to get to FACOTube as well, because as I've said before, I put quite a bit of quite a few things on FACOTube that don't make it to the blog. Let's refresh the FACOTube page. And let's see, I put quite a few things up today. Well, I put 4 videos up today. Now, I put some big videos up, but for the most part, just small clips. And I want to thank my regular contributors, John Eric. Jan Erik has his own Telegram channel, so you can follow Jan Erik yourself. And Jan Erik is good to me because if there's something he thinks for sure I would like, he'll just send it to me directly to draw it to my attention. But Jan Erik puts 10 or 20 different links up himself every day. So that's fantastic. I appreciate Jan Erik and all contributors. Yeah, but Bill Gates is a knight. Who knew? And this really goes to the power structure. That the black, they call these guys the black nobility. And who else is a knight? Well, Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., Rudolph Giuliani, Bob Hope, who I never thought was that funny. And I'm also starting a, if I haven't, all the posts that you see on my blog are categorized. So for instance, if you go down to the bottom of the post, you'll see this entry was posted into, and you'll see all the different categories. So if, for instance, this post hits many categories, including CFR and TLC is the Trilateral Commission, Freemasonries, Jesuits, Power Structure, Sabatini and Franks, SMOM, Sovereign Military Order of Malta. But I also wanted to tag it, who are they? Because everyone always asks, well, who's doing all this? Who are they? Is it just Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci? No. These guys are just the front men for the black nobility. This goes way up, and it goes back to the European aristocracy and nobility and royal families. They've always had the money, and they never lost it. They just, some of the houses, now I guess some of the areas of Europe were run by different houses, like the House of this and the House of that, and the House of Hesse. A lot of them merge into other houses by intermarrying because they do think, the elite think that they're above the vox populi, the heathen masses. So they interbreed because they don't want to mix it up with the bottom classes. So they, a lot of their houses fold into each other over time. And it's, I know Jan Erik knows about a lot of this stuff, but most people don't. So one of the books that may be useful is The Conspirators' Hierarchy, Committee of 300. And this is a book, and it's on b-ok.cc. So let's bring this up real quick. You can download this book and read it for yourself. This book was from 1997. Now, I'm not going to vouch for it as the be-all and end-all, but I'm going to download it anyway. You can, too. Have a read. And can you imagine an all-powerful group that knows no national boundaries above the laws of all countries, one that controls every aspect of politics, religion, commerce, and industry, banking, insurance, mining, and the drug trade, the petroleum industry, a group answerable to no one but its members? Well, yeah, that's basically the Committee of 300. And it's pretty easy to understand. Whoever controls the money controls everything. Everything. So this is a book that's probably worth reading. I don't know if anyone here has read it. This is 465 pages. And all my posts today came out of this one interview that Amy says what TF had with The Black Pill. The Black Pill is a pretty good podcast. Two young guys. They're younger, so their language and their cussing is really over the top for me, so I don't really need that. But they did draw my attention to Amy Says WTF, and this was a fantastic audio. So I posted that here. And then I think there's a clip. There's a clip that I posted here, and basically she's going over the last bunch of presidents. She thinks JFK may have been the last president that may have stood up to them, or maybe he was just a narrative device to pretend to stand up to the elite. But she goes over how every president has laid just a little more foundational material through emergency orders to get us to where we are now. So nothing happens in one shot. It's all an incremental Fabian incremental system to build up to the year 2000. Now this, I think she implied that this whole reset may have been intended for 2000. May have been. Maybe in the 60s they were leading up to 2000, the second millennium. But maybe technology wasn't quite up to speed in 2000, so they just pulled off the 9/11 event, and maybe it got delayed 20 years. Now, or maybe it was always set for 2020 or 2030. I don't know, but it was going to happen around the 2000s. I think that was definitely the plan in the 60s. So listen to this clip. It's only a few minutes. Here we go.
Get my point. These people, they will tell you any president did good things, okay? You cannot deny that Agenda 2030 does not exist, and this has been planned and executed through executive orders since the presidency of John F. Kennedy. Now, FEMA, now this is really important. FEMA was established by Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski. Zbigniew Brzezinski started the Trilateral Commission with David Rockefeller and wrote books about the technocracy and the dystopian future of America. This was back in the 1970s. Jeffrey Epstein was also a member of the Trilateral Commission. Okay, these are eugenicists. These people want to depopulate. It was also Brzezinski who pushed Jimmy Carter to start engaging in China. And we know that the Rockefellers have had this prominent relationship with China because the Rockefellers sold oil to China. For over a century, the Rockefellers have been selling oil to China. Now, the Rockefellers and Brzezinski were very interested in Big Brother surveillance. And China was the first country to roll it out with the social credit system and Skynet. Now, if we go back in history, we know that Tavistock agents tried to sell FEMA to John F. Kennedy, and John F. Kennedy did not want to install FEMA. We know that the Club of Rome played a huge part in the Cuban Missile Crisis. And we know that JFK was murdered after like a year and a half of being president. Like, he did not play their game, and he was gone. Now, in 1972, President Nixon signed Executive Order 11490. Now, this executive order might arguably be one of the most important executive orders that was ever passed, and I don't think anybody knows about it. But this executive order says that the government can and will suspend the Constitution for up to 5 years during a declared national emergency or pandemic. Now, while Jimmy Carter was president, he took these 23 executive orders that were signed by Nixon and gave power to FEMA. So Jimmy Carter basically finished what JFK never wanted to start. Okay. Then in 1988, Ronald Reagan signed into law the Stafford Act, which gave more power to FEMA. George H.W. Bush signed an executive order, which gave FEMA the right to divide America into 10 federal regions. Now, if you Google FEMA 10 federal regions, you can see the map and how we are split up into 10 regions for these FEMA camps. Okay. Now, in 1993, Bill Clinton signed executive order 12852. Okay. This was called the President's Council on Sustainable Development. This order recognizes that the United Nations becomes the law of the land. It suspends our constitution during a pandemic and gives all control to the United Nations.
Yeah, because the people we voted for, right? You know,
motherfucker. Right. So this is also the reason why, since 1993, the United Nations has dictated where our military troops go, where our military bases are. Okay, and what's crazy is if you go back and read this executive order, again, it's 12852, they literally call it Agenda 21 in the executive order. This is not conspiracy. Okay. It is called the Agenda 21 executive order. Okay. And then Obama signed another executive order that has to do with the Stafford Act, which basically pushed what Reagan had started. So every president since after Kennedy has been pushing Agenda 2030 forward slowly, but not obvious to the American people. And because we were all distracted by these wars and other traumas, nobody paid attention to Agenda 2030. Even though they talked about it, but nobody understood it at the time. You know, hindsight's always 2020. Okay, so fast forward to March 13th, 2020. Trump declares the country in a state of emergency, a pandemic, and we've never been the same.
And never will be.
And, you know, I just, before I wrap this up, like in regards to Trump, I just want to ask people who still support him, you know, why was there no justice for human trafficking? Why were the Clintons not exposed? Where's Ghislaine? We're supposed to believe Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. What about Pizzagate? The Mueller report, John Durham, Bill Barr, all these lies, okay? These lies pushed on us. There's no justice.
Blue-balling all his big fans. Like, oh, it's coming. It's coming. Just wait. It's perfect timing. It's right there. And then nothing happens, man.
It was he be.
Yeah. So that is Amy says WTF. And I'm going to show you her page. Let's just bring her page up on BitChute. I think she's only on BitChute. Now let me just change this here. You can read her page. Here it is here. Amy says WTF. I'm going to try and get her on. I'm a subscriber, so click her. I'll show you all her videos here because I haven't gone through them all, but now I have something to listen to for the next few days. Let's just go right to the bottom, start at the top. So there she is there. She was on the Tinfoil Hat podcast, which I'm not really crazy about. Meet our Jesuit Supreme Court. Amy's interesting. She said she's from Illinois. She sold her house and she bought a camper van. So she's now traveling all around the United States in a camper with her children. And she understands Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. These are videos from this year. And she's big on Trump, exposing Trump. Trump is definitely not on our side in any way. So she's really good at that. And there she is there. So she's got a ton of stuff here. Ton of stuff. Richard Willette. Jesuits, the Great White Brotherhood, just tons of stuff. Amy says WTF. So I'll be listening to all this stuff. She's got the CFR, basically the power structure. There's the tinfoil hat, all roads lead to Jesuits. That's the black pill one. That's what I was listening to today. Club of Rome, the Bilderberg, trilaterals. the House of Schwarzenberg, Nazis of Austria. Okay, well, propaganda, black nobility, Bill Gates. She has a good Bill Gates story. His great-great-great-grandfather, seven levels above him, how he was involved in the Virginia Company, brings in the Bermuda Triangle. Bermuda, apparently there's a Gulf of Gates in Bermuda where the ship went down. Everyone survived. So she had a good story about that. I have no idea if it's true, but it's a good story. Yeah, she's really, oh, interesting. I talked to my husband about our Roswell doc. Okay. Interesting. Let me listen to a bit of this. Let's see what her husband sounds like.
Excited to announce my new book, Synarchy, The Complete Guide to the Elite Groups That Rule the World in the 21st Century, is published and available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. It has 16 chapters and is a complete breakdown of the world's power structure. I talk about the Black Nobility families, bloodlines, Club of Rome, Bilderberg Group, Tavistock, the Vatican, everything. You will not want to miss this, so head over to Amazon and check it out under Amy Says WTF. Okay, so today I'm here with my husband, Tim.
Uh-oh, her husband's name is Tim.
We are going to talk about some crazy shit. So back in 2015, before we were married, we went to Roswell, New Mexico. And we did the UFO tour with Dennis Balthaser. And as we went through the tour, we were extremely fascinated with the story. And after we went through the tour with Dennis, we went to a bar and we sat down to have lunch and we talked about this idea of a documentary of coming back to Roswell and spending time with Dennis at his house and just getting to know him, and thought it would be a great idea to film him and get to know him and his life in Roswell. And we decided to just call him on the phone after we did the tour to ask him if we could come back and plan to film a documentary. This was probably in April of 2014. And we ended up going back a year later and spent another week in Roswell with Dennis and his wife. And we filmed the UFO Roswell tour. We did a lot of footage of like beef.
All right. Amy Says WTF. Have a listen to her. Well done, Amy. Okay. Coming up to about an hour. I'll go about 10 more minutes. No phone calls tonight. I see Simon Shack, the great Simon Shack, is in the chat tonight at FakoTube. And it's a little too late for him to come on, but he said we'll have to do something for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. I agree. 9/11's on a Saturday. I don't normally do a show on Saturday, but maybe on Sunday. Maybe Sunday we'll do something, Simon, on Sunday. Let's think about it. Or I could maybe squeeze in 1 hour on 9/11 in the daytime, which would be good for Simon. I couldn't go late on that, though. So we could maybe do an hour on Saturday, 9/11. Maybe at, maybe around 11 a.m. my time, which might be good for you. So let's think about that. I don't normally do a show on the day. I'm usually busy. But I might squeeze an hour in because I cannot do it in the evening on 9/11. Well, let's look into that. That's a possibility. Okay, so I got that. So that's the Amy show, and the hindsight is 2030. And she also did a pretty good expose, as I said, on Donald Trump. And this is another good channel, Defending Utah. Now, it doesn't really matter where you are in the United States, Utah, any state. Every state is under attack. And there are some really good organizations like Defending Utah. He's got a good YouTube channel. So let me play a bit of this for you. Good intro, too, by the way. Good music. Kind of dramatic. I like that. I wouldn't mind one for Fakeologists if anyone wants to do something like that for my channel.
I'm Ben McClintock, the co-founder of Defending Utah at defendingutah.org. I've been involved in the Liberty Movement for many, many years. For over a decade, I was the Western States Director for a national Liberty organization and featured in many regional and even national publications. In addition to Defending Utah, I also run a chicken ranch. In pandemics of the past, there was no questioning how serious it was because it was self-evident. Hospitals were overrun. Death hit virtually every family. No one was left unaffected. However, with COVID-19, there are mass movements with protests, news reports, and mass refusal to comply with government mandates. Now, what's the difference between people voluntarily taking precautions versus so many people questioning the official narrative? In 1793, the Philadelphia yellow fever outbreak killed 10% of the population. People chose to isolate themselves because the danger was obvious to any observer. Even the capital of the United States was moved out of Philadelphia because of it. For 30 years, the United States faced a cholera outbreak from 1832 to 1866, killing upwards of, again, 10%.
Anyway, cholera is not an outbreak. It's just in the water. Not passed human to human. It's passed through the water. So if that's an outbreak, well, just note, not contagious.
Of the population. The people were able to observe its effects and willingly took steps to ensure the prevention of infection. No government intervention was needed for the people to do what was naturally obvious. In 2009, the H1N1, or the swine flu, is said to have killed almost 300,000 people, with upward of over 1 billion suspected cases. Even with these statistics, the response of governments worldwide was nothing compared to what we are seeing with COVID-19. These were clear and obvious threats to the public health. However, the current purported pandemic has killed 0.0005% of the population. However, even that percentage is seen to be high by many, since the CDC counts people that died with COVID the same as if they had died of COVID, with 96% of that 0.0005% now being called into question.
Okay, it's a good video. Wow. This is the main point.
With three branches of government given different jobs, the other branch that we are given by our Creator,
here is a good,
certain inalienable rights.
Point that he makes here.
And that government's role is to protect those rights. And to do that, the general as well as state governments implement what is referred to as separation of powers. With three branches of government given different jobs, the other branches are prohibited from engaging in. These branches are the legislative, they write the laws, the executive, they implement the laws passed by the legislature, and the judicial, they settle arguments. James Madison rightly observed, "The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny." In other words, the power to make law cannot be combined into the same person that executes the law under any circumstance.
This is a great point.
Or you have yourself a tyrant. Not only is each branch prohibited from taking these powers upon themselves, each branch is prohibited from giving their power to any of the other branches of government. The legislature cannot execute laws. The executive cannot adjudicate, and so on. But didn't the governor say that the courts have ruled on this? Herbert was referring to Jacobson versus Massachusetts. This Supreme Court opinion stated that because of the 10th Amendment, the states retain the authority to implement compulsory vaccination.
Anyway, he's right. Separation of powers. It exists. It's in the Constitution, the state's Constitution, but all powers have been merged. Same problem in Canada. We don't really have those protections that I understand. I know we have the British Commonwealth system. But we have a tyrant on our hands, and all power has merged, and it's why we're in the situation we are right now. Everything is coming through as a mandate, which isn't a law, but it's all coming from a public health tyranny that was set up by the world government. And our existing legislature are basically neutered, as in not effective, as in not doing the job they were elected to, because they're too afraid that the people will go against them, because the people have been convinced that there is a deadly virus going around that will kill them if they don't do everything the dictatorship says. And this is an interesting thing that, where did I get this from? A good thing I put a link. Mask equals buffoon.
Well, good morning. Hope everyone's having a good day. Well, masking is a simple what? We'll let Mr. Brownstein explain that in a minute. But let's just look at a few numbers. Just thought I'd share. Interesting how many of those who have gotten in line and gotten that, you know, shot there. And look at the numbers here in Finland. We have one dose at 71% and two doses almost at 50%.
She brought up this blog on the masks, and it's quite interesting. If you want to read this article, the thing I pulled out of it was that mask comes from the word buffoon. Interesting. What's this? That looks pretty gross.
First, we were told that wearing masks would do more harm than good, which is what the science still supports. But now, even as the COVID-19 pandemic is turning out to be less harmful than the seasonal flu, we are being told to...
That's because it is the cold. Coronavirus is the common cold. And I'll get back to that the Big Pharma has always wanted to create a vaccination for the common cold. Why? Because almost everyone experiences a common cold at least once a year. Can you imagine the money if you could prevent the common cold with a vaccination, which of course is impossible. Vaccinations don't prevent illness. They create illness because it's a toxin. But yeah, this is a pretty good article on the masks. Have a read. It's just a ritual. The humiliation ritual. What is a mask? Essentially, something not essential. To be someone you are not. To be like the cattle of the field that are yoked with a muzzle. You are submitting to the world and are handing over your submission from God. Wearing of a mask is a token of submission to Mystery Babylon and an initiation rite according to mystery religions with a historical context. According to scripture, the mask is related to Mystery Babylon to shut your eyes and mouth through confusion the mystery of God. It is initiation into a new order, but it's also a transformation of the self into a new position in that new order. And actually, I'm going to look up these two people that I used to watch. Let's see, who are they? I forget their name now. I'm gapping, but they did a fantastic video on the mask way back at the beginning. It's called Truth Media, Truth Stream Media. The other Truth Media Films. Yeah, this is these two here. I don't know what they're doing these days. They have been out of commission for a while. Let's see, what's her name? I like her voice though. They've been out of it for 3 months. And where is it? Is it the characteristic of cults? Let's see. Trusty Media. The characteristics of an initiation ritual. It might have been this one. Really good video.
Thanks for joining us. I know we're surrounded by... by uncertainty. It feels like everything is changing.
Why can't I remember her name? Erin and... what's her name?
Julian Huxley once wrote that the basic elements in cultural transmission and transformation are psychological. This is how we change. Since time immemorial, high rituals have been performed to transform reality. Ritual, a spiritual psychodrama of conscious, deliberate actions taken to facilitate change. Changes to the whole of the environment people exist in, starting with the mental landscape of the people themselves. The place where our reality is first born a dream. Artist Sharon Devlin once bluntly described the true purpose of ritual as being a method to alter one's mind. It's a sacred drama in which you are the audience as well as the participant.
Anyway, really good video. These guys must be working on something new because they haven't pumped anything out in ages. Highly recommend Truth Stream Media. Can't remember her name. The husband's name is Aaron. I forget hers, but she was apparently on InfoWars back in the day. I think she won the contest to be the new reporter there. Can't remember her name right now. This was sent to me from Jan Erik. And I might play this at the end of the show. I think I'll play out with a video instead of fading to black. But I'll play this preacher video in a minute. But let me just go to FAQ 2 and make sure I've covered everything. Okay, I didn't post this one either. This is Tanya. She's fantastic. Another Canadian. Another woman. And she's very good looking.
Let's shed some light on true history regarding plant medicine and the scarcity that's happening, especially since the FDA has now a list of so many herbs that they're looking to ban the use, probably because of its ability to heal naturally. Now, many call herbal medicine alternative medicine, but I want to reiterate that it's actually the original form of medicine because modern medicine is alternative, meaning it's opposite to native.
What is it about millennials? They can't use the letter T. T. A hard T. They have a soft or silent T, including important. Drives me crazy. People, T. Say it. Use it.
So traditional medicine is actually native to us. And anything natural cannot be patented, meaning no money can be made from anything that's God created. And over the last century, the dramatic decline in health, I believe, is directly aligned with the reduction of the use of plant medicine, which should be a natural part of our diets and our lifestyle. Our bodies actually have special receptors to their compounds, so we are literally born with abilities that can only be unlocked with the right plant substance. That's how connected we are to Earth and why it's so important for true health to actually get closer and back to our roots of plant medicine.
I just blasted away the window there. Oops. Okay. That was well done. Let me start that again. Move tab. Don't fool around with the tabs when you're running a show. Move tab to new window. Okay, well, we'll do that later. So we'll play her. That's the amazing Tanya. Sarah Tanya, the herbalist. She's got a great Telegram channel as well. Now I've lost track since I blew away that window. Actually, you can't see it now since I blew it away. Hold on a sec. Share. Window. Boom. Boom. There you go. Back you go. Okay. Let's get back to what I was talking about here. Okay. Get back to the blog real quick. Ecologist.com/blog. Bring that up. Teachers, vaccines, Interpol. Oh, yeah. So I was going to create a tag called Who Are They? Because I like that topic. Who are they? Sir Bill Gates. We talked about him. Amy says WTF. If anyone has her contact, you can send her a message to come on my show. I have to do that myself. You can help if you want to see her on the show. She's tons of stuff. Masks are for buffoons. Oh, right. Now I know what I was going to do. Rachel did a post at fakeologist.com/forums2, which actually is very fast. And it's a really great way to read posts. So fakeologist.com/forums2. Sign up. I will approve you if I recognize your name. And here she was talking about signers. This is a complicated topic. I have to get into this a bit more. So we're trying to figure out, are the signers just there as the official story where they're trying to create accessibility to information about coronavirus hoax? Or are they there for some other reason? Is there some legal reason? Because we've never seen this epidemic of signers at every press conference. So she did the post. She did a great job. We'll give her a thumbs up here. Thank you. You can thumbs up a post, by the way. If you look at the bottom, it'll say who thanked you. Oh, look. So it shows who thanks people for the post. I love this feature. So Fakeologist, Dirty Betty, Unreal, we all thanked her. Really fantastic way to show your thanks. And I have it on the blog, but it works a little better on this forums thingy. All right, so basically, we're trying to figure out what is this sign language? What is the purpose of it? So here's the thread. She goes right into it. It's very interesting. And lots of good stuff about Romley Stewart, about uppercase language, ASL, American Sign Language. Unreal chimed in. And by the way, when you are creating a post, you can mention other people on the blog or on the forums, rather. It's a great way. So if you mention someone, I like this technical stuff. If you mention somebody in a post, they'll get an email, so they'll know that you mentioned them. It's a really powerful feature. So these two are going at it. Xylophilex, he makes a comment. There we go. So there's the thread I was asking for. Oh, it's got 11 posts now, so look at page 2. Okay, so there you go. And we're going to create a whole generation of children that can't see the cues from their parents' faces because they're covered up. And it's going to screw up language and speech development. Because, yes, we read people's faces, we read lips, we do all that when we're learning. Everything we use as a cue to learn. And that's what she's saying here. So really, take a look at this post. Go to the Fakeologist forums. It's fantastic. This is where people start their own threads. It's a lot easier to follow. Rachel's done tons of work here. Dirty Benny's done tons of work here. We don't just have the coronavirus hoax. I should change the title of this to Coronavirus Hoax 2020 to 2030. This is a 10-year plan, no doubt. But we've got 9/11. We have a small forum on the race riots. That's kind of a dead issue. We've got Baller Skeptics, Elite Gender Inversion. We've got NASA. We've got some audio clips. 9/11 historical research. Reference books. Actually, I should start. What do we have under reference books? Rachel did most of the work here. But I should put up more stuff. Club of Rome. So Rachel did tons of work in it this past May. This is a really great forum. So as I've told you before, Fakeologist is a full spectrum dominance force in truth. We've got a lot of content here. We got the video platform. We've just got all kinds of stuff here. I highly recommend you look at the forums and contribute to the forums. Let me just bring up the chat one more time before we sign off. I can find it here. Chat, bring up the chat. Anyone else chatting in the FakoTube chat? Okay. Do we have anything? This is the wrong chat. I got two different damn chats. So, you got the wrong chat here. Channel Fakeologist. That is not the right chat. This is an old chat. Let me just... I have trouble with my own site, believe it or not. So if I bring up the main FakoTube live stream, where's the chat window here? If you go to live stream, oh, there's the chat. So here's the chat on the bottom left. Click that and contribute to the forums. Now I'm talking to myself. Okay, so why isn't this chat coming up? Okay. And then you can pop out the chat. I think. Having trouble here, guys. Give me a second. Not the best window. All right. I'll work on that later. Okay, let's go back to the chat from YouTube and all the other sites here. What else we got here? They are great researchers. Skate and Destroy says, yeah, the sign language thing has messed with me since this started. Have they always done that? I don't remember if they did. It feels like they're mocking us. No, I think they're just telling us the real story. Mike D says TruthStream had a non-disclosure with Alex Jones. All right. Yeah, it's crazy, these science signers. Okay, guys, well, we got a pretty good crowd tonight. FakoTube has, how many people are on FakoTube tonight? We've got, looks like 3 in the chat window at FakoTube. And we've got quite a few people watching the other platforms, which is fine. Whatever works for you, whatever works well. We've got quite a good following on the live stream. So it looks like maybe next time to listen to me and the rest is tomorrow on the Friday audio chat. You can join fake11.com/discord. You can join in, and there should be a bit of a crowd. It's actually a pretty good crowd usually Friday afternoons. So please try and join in there. And then Saturday morning, we have the Rick and Rollo show. There should be lots of Australia news as they destroy that country. And if you want to leave a message, you can just call the main number here. Yeah, Pete, you know what's funny? I played Baker Street coincidentally in 2012. I didn't know Alan Watt. And I certainly didn't know that he played it, and I didn't know he had anything to do with writing Baker Street. I think he said he did. Marcus pointed that out. But I don't mind the song. For some reason, I came upon it coincidentally, as Alan Watt did, but it was a complete coincidence. I'm not sure why I chose it. I love music, and that's definitely not my favorite song. But maybe it just came to me at the time. But no, I don't really like... I don't like intros and I don't like outros. When you listen to a lot of podcasts, I don't want nonsense. Just get right to the goods. Just get right into it and tell me what you want to tell me. And if you have an outro, I usually just pass by it. I don't even listen to it. I just end the audio. So that's why I've stopped playing it here. I just cut the show off at the end. But in this case, I'm going to play the video from FakoTube. I'm going to play that because this is another preacher, and the preachers should all understand this. There can't be just Matt Truella in Wisconsin that knows what's going on, because it's been 18 months. So there must be another preacher, and Jan Erik sent me this preacher. So I'm going to play this guy, and we're going to play out with him. And if you like the show, send me an email at ima@fakeologist.com or send me a donation, fakeologist.com/donate. Both are great ways to let us know that you're paying attention and you're listening. I'll also plug fakemaskusa.com. You want a breathable mask. If you have to have a mask, then you might want to check out fakemaskusa.com. Okay. Everybody have a great night. I'm going to go to mute and I'm going to play this video. I'll take it right to the FakeoTube site so it makes a big screen. Have a listen to this preacher, whoever he is. Looks like it was on Facebook. Don't know why people go to Facebook, but I guess it's because everyone can use it. So have a listen.
I'm responsible. The Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews that I watch for your souls. I don't want your blood on my hands. I'm going to have to give an account to God. And I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to do what I have to do. I pulled off of the web today a study. There's going to be 12 reasons or 12 things that are going to lead the world, according to this study, 12 things that are going to lead the world into a totalitarian one-world government. We need that totalitarian one-world government, according to Revelation 13. The Antichrist will reign over the world. Now, he'll have his enemies. You read the book of Daniel. You'll find out the Antichrist does not have absolute rule over the earth. He's got his enemies. But for the most part, he does. These are the 12 things. Number one, create a problem. Create a problem. Take a flu-like illness with very common symptoms that can be easily treated at a 99.97 recovery rate, essentially a bad dose of seasonal flu. But like the regular flu, can be dangerous to people with weak immune systems or serious underlying health issues. Call it COVID-19. You provoke a terrified reaction. Use the mainstream media to provoke massive fear. Ensure daily reporting of any death of someone with COVID as being a death from COVID. Report all cases, even though most people have no or mild symptoms. Bribe scientists with grants and doctors with bonus payments for supporting testing and vaccinations. Now, this is happening. This is documented. This is happening. No question about it. Number three, impose lockdowns. Lockdowns. Now, notice these are progressive steps to lead to a totalitarian, one-world, dictatorial government. Impose lockdowns. Impose national, local lockdowns. Commence the Great Reset to transfer wealth and power up to global corporations and the financial elite. Destroy small businesses. Strengthen global corporations. Cause a massive rise in state debt to international financiers. Push cashless payments. Number four, exaggerate the crisis. Use totally unreliable PCR tests to massively exaggerate the number of cases or so-called infections among healthy people who have no symptoms and cannot spread any infection. Mandate face mask. Promote fear to signal public compliance by mandating mask. In reality, cloth masks are totally ineffective against any virus. Prolonged use of masks actually increases health risk due to the lack of oxygen, breathing in waste air, and fungal infections. Impose contact tracing. Normalize surveillance. Get people to accept having all their personal movements and contact with people tracked, recorded, and analyzed. Number seven, impose health passport ID systems. This is what it's coming to. Remember, you can't go into the store without a mask on. See, they're conditioning you to be controlled and directed in where you can go. So impose health passport ID systems. Introduce health passport apps for smartphones as a form of biometric identity card to monitor and control people's freedom of movement and ability to access education, employment, in all types of service. This will become a global digital identity system that will compulsory to go anywhere, which will system that will be, the B's not here, will be compulsory to go anywhere. Roll out 5G microwave networks. 5G means fifth generation, all right? You've been using 4 for some time now. Now they're preparing you to go into 5G microwave networks. Listen carefully. 5G networks will allow constant gathering of huge amounts of personal data from smartphones and all internet-connected devices. 5G massively increases the amount of high-frequency microwave radiation that can reduce blood oxygen levels and trigger COVID-like respiratory symptoms. Did you get that? In plain words, they can take you that are fully healthy and make it look like you've got COVID-19. And then, of course, once you have COVID-19, you come into the system. 5G illnesses will be blamed on COVID to justify vaccinations. Next, mandatory vaccinations. Mandatory vaccination will generate massive profits for big pharma corporations who have 100% legal immunity for all injuries and deaths. Vaccines will destroy natural immunity, increase sterility rates, and promote global depopulation. New DNA and RNA vaccines will create genetically modified humans bioengineered for obedience, sterility, and easy control. Cash allows people to shop in privacy. Now think about that. It allows you to shop in privacy. Cash does. With cash, the state does not know what, where, or when you buy something. A cashless economy means a total loss of financial privacy, as all purchases can be constantly monitored and controlled. Access to digital finance can be withdrawn from anyone who dissents from officially approved purchases, views, or behavior. And he calls it all. They neither buy nor sell, except they receive his mark. Revelation 13. That fits together, doesn't it? Yeah. Compel RFID microchip implants. RFID is radio frequency ID. Move from health passport apps to more convenient radio frequency identity microchip implants that allow constant 24/7 monitoring of health, movements, contacts, and digital payments. With RFID chips, all human privacy will completely cease. Initially, these chips will be voluntary. Once normalized, they will become compulsory. See the word normalized. De facto, in other words. And then finally, you arrive at the totalitarian New World Order. Number 12. A depopulated, high-tech totalitarian world with genetically modified humans, weakened natural immunity, microchipped, permanently connected to the internet, monitored and controlled 24/7, human beings will be reduced to the level of biological machines living in a totalitarian prison. The real goal of this so-called Great Reset is high-tech fascism, communism. COVID is merely the excuse. I agree with that. Amen. So what does all this mean, preacher? It means even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. That's what it means. But for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So what are we supposed to do, preacher? Number one is pray. Lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Honestly, folks, I can't see how it'll last much longer. I really can't. And Father, tonight I gave it out to the church and to these people. This is the flock that I'm accountable for and watch over. I pray that your word will not return void. You said in the book of Daniel, knowledge will increase. There's no way any of this could. This, all of this, Lord, every bit of this stuff I'm talking about tonight is based on an increase in knowledge. Increase in knowledge. But you knew it. You knew all about it. You told us it was going to happen. And you're God. You don't need us. We need you. And we love you. And we bless your righteous name. And you've given me something to live for. And you took me when nobody else would take me. And you reached down into the dark and gave me light. You wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, until my dying day, until I take the last breath in this body, I want to stay faithful to you. Hallelujah to God. I want to stand with you, Lord. And then when you get ready, we'll leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.